Thank you, Jonga, and a blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, August 24th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Over 12,000 Zimbabwean special permit applications in South Africa have been rejected as the program nears its end on the 30th of September 2015.
The good news is that the adjudication is almost complete, leaving us with only 0.3% to adjudicate.
The family of missing human rights activist Itai Dzamara today handed a petition to President Robert Mugabe and Speaker of Parliament Jacob Mudenda, complaining about the government's less than satisfactory efforts to look for the missing activist.
We do believe that it is the fundamental right of every citizen to be protected by the state. Little has been done in our view.
And the International Monetary Fund rules out giving Zimbabwe any financial assistance until the country clears all its external debts.
These stories and much, much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Over 12,000 Zimbabwean special permit applications in South Africa have been rejected as the program nears its end on the 30th of September 2015. South African Minister of Home Affairs, Malusi Gigaba, revealed this at a media briefing in Pretoria, South Africa today. Benedictine Nhlapo reports from Pretoria.
Speaking to journalists in Pretoria, Home Affairs Minister Malusi Gigaba said 99.7% of all the ZSP permit applications have been adjudicated so far. He said out of the nearly 200,000 ZSP permit applications presented to his department for adjudication, 197,303 of them have been dealt with. Out of this number, 185,075 applications have been approved and the majority of them dispatched and collected. However, for some Zimbabweans who applied for the ZSP permits, the minister's announcement brought bad news. Over 12,000 applications were rejected. 2. For some, like God knows Sibanda, the announcement that the process is closing in September has left them with more questions than answers. 3. Sibanda says the delay has cost him dearly. 4. However, Minister Gigaba insists that all decisions will be available for collection before the 30th of September. He warns that all permits that will not be collected after this date will be declared invalid. Gigaba also emphasized that after the expiry of all ZSP permits, on 31 December 2017, the permit holders will be expected to return to Zimbabwe as these will not be renewed. Reporting for Studio 7 in Johannesburg, this is Benedictine Nhlapo.
The family of missing human rights activist Itai Dzamara today ended a petition to President Robert Mugabe and Speaker of Parliament Jacob Mudenda complaining about the government's less than satisfactory efforts to look for the missing activist. Itai's wife, Shefra, and brother Patson Dzamara delivered the petition this afternoon at President Mugabe's Monomotapa offices and parliament.
In the petition, Patson says he is concerned and disturbed by the stance assumed by Mr. Mugabe as the head of state on the Dzamara issue. He went on to say, quote, "To date, you as head of state and your government at large have done little to assist us as a family to at least come to a place of closure." Dzamara added that although Itai openly opposed Mr. Mugabe's government, his security and right to life remains, quote, "a direct and unquestionable responsibility of your government." Itai Dzamara was abducted 5 months ago by as yet unknown assailants. Reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached Zamara's brother Patson for more.
We do believe that it is the fundamental right of every citizen to be protected by the state. Little has been done in our view as far as trying to locate the whereabouts of the tie is contained and trying to pile up pressure to whoever has the tie to release it. And so those are the sentiments we express in the petition.
What role exactly do you want the president to play in this matter?
He is the head of state, and as you might be aware, his conversation actually once indicated that the guy Zamara's disappearing does not bother him in any way, or is none of his business. The family is still that is highly irresponsible and regrettable. And so as such, we employ the head of state, who is one of his constitutional obligations is to ensure that the safety of citizens and freedom of expression is ensured.
That was Dr. Patson Zamara, young brother to missing rights activist Itai Zamara. He was speaking on the line from Harare with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo.
Meanwhile, conveners of the Itai Zamara prayer meetings say they've instructed their lawyers to approach the courts after heavily armed riot police on Saturday disrupted their Rishawani prayer meeting. Convener Bishop Anselimo Magaya says the police told them they could not proceed with the prayer meeting because it had been hijacked by the opposition MDCT.
Upon our arrival, we advised that we could no longer be able to hold our peace prayer rally, and we went to the police to find out why we could not do that, and they said that it is simply because there were some people that were seen to be in flyers putting on MDCT regalia. But upon further inquiry, we discovered that these were blatant lies, because the people that were distributing flyers, they actually put them on their church uniforms. But probably coincidentally, some of these people could have been seen some MDCT rallies, which I think still is frivolous, because you cannot stop somebody from praying or from distributing a flyer to the church simply because at some point they have been seen at a rally.
Did this affect your plans, considering that you were expecting thousands of people to attend?
True, we were expecting thousands of people. But what we then ended up doing, you see, because you know Achebe says that when men learn how to shoot without missing, birds should learn to fly without pitching. So you learn to be innovative. So we decided then to say they cannot bar us from praying. What they can do is to bar us from using a venue. They have not do so, but probably they can successfully be doing so, because they were surrounding that place with guns and so forth. So we ended up using a home of one of the people that stay in Shavani. And I must say it was very powerful, quite astounding, and people had a very deep experience with their God as we prayed for Itai Zamara.
That was Bishop Anselimo Magaya in Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metom Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
The International Monetary Fund, which is dispatching a mission to Harare next week, has ruled out giving any financial assistance to Zimbabwe until all external debts are settled. The IMF is expected in the country from August 31st to December 11 to undertake the second review of the staff monitored program. Last year, the IMF agreed to a successor staff monitored program, SMP, an informal agreement between country authorities and the global lender designed to monitor the implementation of the authorities' economic program to help the country out of the woods.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa has for years been requesting for fresh funds from the IMF so the country can clear its external debt and move forward. Government insiders say the economic situation is now worsening. IMF resident representative to Zimbabwe, Christian Bedis, says he tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that engagement with Harare is continuing.
This is a 15-month program running from October last year to basically end December this year. And they were here in March for the first review, and they're coming now to discuss the second review with the authorities in Zimbabwe, in Harare.
But are there any plans by the IMF to extend loans to Zimbabwe? Because the government has been saying without money, it will be difficult to address the economic problems.
At this point in time, we cannot extend any loans to Zimbabwe because Zimbabwe is in arrears to the IMF. And the Articles of Agreement say that no country that is in arrears to the IMF, no member country, can actually draw on resources from the IMF. This also applies to other institutions Zimbabwe has arrears to. So one of our key objectives is to work together with our colleagues from other international organizations like the World Bank and the African Development Bank and the government to find, basically to come up with options on how these arrears can be cleared.
And how much is it still owing to the IMF, and is it making any payments?
On your second question, yes, Zimbabwe is making token payments each month. It also makes token payments in proportion to the outstanding loans to other institutions like the World Bank and the African Development Bank. So, and the outstanding amount to the IMF is about 80 million SDRs. At current exchange rates, maybe about $110, $120 million.
IMF resident representative to Zimbabwe, Christian Bedis, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The civil servants have resolved that the case of more than 3,000 workers who have not been paid since June following a government audit that sought to flush out ghost workers be presented to the employer on an individual basis. The decision was reached today at a joint negotiating council meeting in Harare. Yesterday, the Zimbabwe Teachers Association, ZIMTA, which was having its annual general meeting, resolved to confront government over the issue. But today, the workers rescinded the decision after government officials attending the meeting asked them to present the cases on an individual basis. Teachers make up to 1,000 of the 3,000 civil servants suspected of being ghost workers. The government dragnet is being accused of affecting some innocent teachers who were on leave or away from their station at the time of the exercise. We reached ZIMTA CEO Sifiso Ndlovu, who says government is going to pay the affected workers within 48 hours once their cases had been cleared.
But we definitely are aware from the outside sustainable point of view that we had between 600 and 1,000 teachers who did not go into the paid in the month of June and who are active. And some of them were either on leave, on this kind of leave, and some of the other leave were not properly done, some were on transfer, and the paperwork was still in the middle and was not done properly and effectively so that they could get to be known where they are. That is where we then agreed that let us find a resolution of how we can assist those who are quickly affected, but genuinely at work, and quickly that should be done. And the commission has agreed that within 48 hours, they reinstate the salary of the individual and the person gets the salary without waiting for the end of the month.
Yeah, we had heard earlier on that you are going to confront government over this issue.
Understanding is one thing, but at the same time, we must direct the issue of where the administrative failure is. As you speak right now, we are in the middle of a national executive meeting to either take up that conference resolution or remodel it such that it addresses the current issues as revealed.
That was Zimbabwe Teachers Association Chief Executive Officer Sifiso Ndlovu on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
Still on education, addressing teachers at the ZIMTA Annual General Conference in Harare yesterday, Primary and Secondary Education Minister Lazarus Dokora said his ministry has proposed the creation of a board to monitor the education sector, which is flooded by unqualified teachers and thereby compromising education standards in the country. ZIMTA National President Richard Gundani tells reporter Standikile Mhlanga the creation of the board is a welcome move.
We have people who have different types of qualifications, engineering, you name it, any sort of diploma which has nothing to do with teaching, they have been accepted to come and teach because there is a gap in terms of qualified personnel. Or there are teachers out there who are not taking up posts in remote areas. As the Zimbabwe Teachers Association, our position is that we should come up with a teaching professions council, which is going to regularize the qualifications of teachers, monitor the ethics of teachers, the compensation policies that talk to the salaries, the allowances, the other checks that are in keeping with the status of a professional.
But do you think this will make a difference if there is still a lower number of qualified teachers in the country?
We acknowledge, of course, because what the ministry has done now is to come up with this capacity building scheme where some of the teachers are being assisted to get higher qualifications. So government itself should finance the manpower development needs of the teachers of this country. And they should afford an opportunity to those teachers that are not trained to go and train as teachers, like in the nursing and health profession, like in the field of law. We have qualified personnel. It is not good to say anybody can teach.
That was ZIMTA National President Richard Gundani on the line with Studio 7 from Harare. In VOA, with the VOA Studio 7 from Owanges, Zimbabwe, Matebele North Province.
The Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force has embarked on an initiative to raise $35,000 to have a statue of Zimbabwe's most famous lion, Cecil, erected in the Wange National Park to attract tourists and raise awareness on the need to preserve the species. Cecil was killed early July by American dentist Walter Palmer in an illegal hunt. His killing sparked global outrage and at the same time left ordinary struggling Zimbabweans confused by the love that poured out for a predator they so much fear. Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force head Johnny Rodriguez says erecting Cecil's statue will attract more tourists to Zimbabwe.
A lot of people around the world requested that we do a statue of the full size of the lion because he's an icon and a lot of people remember him. And we thought it's a good idea to actually get one made, to have a replica made out of steel, coated but done properly, you know, with the same color as the skin with the mane and everything made out of metal. We either mount it up in Wanky or we'll put it in a museum because this animal is actually going to change a lot of laws and rules around the world.
Many people are of the opinion that this money could be used for a good cause, like protecting the entire wildlife, instead of being used on just one statue.
Well, you know, the thing is, by putting it there, a lot of people, you know, because of the subject that's touched a lot of people around the world, it's going to create a lot of tourism, and people want to see it will generate triple, quadruple the amount of money that you spend on making it.
How do you intend to raise this amount of money?
Well, you know, there's people who want to donate, can. I mean, if we raise those funds, we do. The other thing is, you know, we're doing all sorts of things, you know, selling photographs and pictures of the animal art, and people contribute their part towards it. And that all goes towards this, the actual making of the statue.
That was Atato Mochone, a Mandela Washington fellow attached to VOA Zimbabwe Service Studio 7, speaking with Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force head Johnny Rodriguez.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
heart disease on the rise in Zimbabwe.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
French President François Hollande today bestowed the Legion of Honor, France's highest decoration, on a Briton and three Americans who subdued a heavily armed gunman aboard a high-speed train on Friday.
And worries about China's faltering economic growth continue to fuel falling stock and oil prices around the world.
In our health section today, we are looking at cardiovascular or heart diseases, which are conditions that directly affect the heart and blood vessels. According to the World Health Organization, heart diseases remain the number one cause of deaths globally. More people die annually from heart disease than from any other cause. And in Zimbabwe, statistics show cardiovascular diseases like heart attacks and strokes account for 9% of deaths from non-communicable diseases in 2014. Heart diseases are characterized by blood clots, high blood pressure, stroke, cardiac arrest, and even heart failure, some of which can be treated with medicine and surgery where necessary. For Perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with general physician and 2014 Mandela Washington Fellow Dr. Marlon Ralph Nyakubayu, who explains how these heart ailments occur.
These are ailments that really affect the quality of life. Because if your heart is not working, you can hardly go through normal daily activities. We're talking about people who get tired quickly on just walking, taking a stroll, taking a jog. People even get tired and breathless and even doing something like cleaning your house chores. So,
Doctor, when we talk about these conditions, can you tell us what are some of the heart conditions that someone can get?
One of the most common is what we call heart failure, congestive heart failure, where the heart is not pumping as much as it should be. Then we also have ischemic heart disease related to blood supply to the heart. So these are the diseases that then cause symptoms of chest pain, heart attack, or something that is not even heart attack, what we call angina. And then there also is heart disease that people are born with, what we call congenital heart disease, you know, like when you're born with a defect in the valve of your heart. So these are the ones that affect people from birth.
And, Doctor, there are many misconceptions that people say that heart disease or heart diseases normally affect older people. Can you talk about that and how that is maybe a common myth?
To some extent, it is quite true that looking at the statistics, most of the people who get heart disease are older people. But now we're seeing a very sad trend that it's now affecting more and more younger people. We're seeing younger people developing heart attacks or even going into heart failure. So the trend is changing, due to the diet or the lifestyle that people are now using, lifestyle that are more sedentary, with religious exercise, that is also for the heart. So it's quite sad to see there a rise in heart disease, as well as accompanying conditions that lead to heart disease like diabetes amongst younger people.
And Doctor, as we conclude this health feature, can you tell our listeners how and what they can do to prevent some of these heart diseases on a day-to-day basis, in particular looking at the food and also living active lifestyles?
Prevention is always better than cure. So that's from, you know, eating right, making sure that it's a low-fat diet, people are not exceeding on their carbohydrates, you know, avoid the animal fat, that's not so good, eat the good kind of fat. Then the other thing is exercise. A heart muscle that is really exercised is stronger. And so you get a little bit more fat and jog a bit, be involved in sporting activities. And that will only improve improve the heart, but also improve the quality of life in this region with activities that improve the mental state as well. So eating right and exercise is good. And managing stress is mainly hard to handle stress. In short, I say eat right, exercise as much as you can, and it will keep the heart healthy.
That was General Physician and 2014 Mandela Washington Fellow Dr. Malon Ralph Nyakubau on the line with reporter Tatenda Gumbo.
Zimbabwean football has once again been thrown into deep mourning following the death Saturday of Highlanders and Dream Team legend Willard Mashingela Kumalo. Reporter Michael Kariati has more details.
Kumalo, who starred for Reinhard Fabi's dream team that nearly qualified for the 1994 World Cup in the USA and featured for the team between 1992 and 1994, passed on in Mzilikazi at the age of 49 after struggling with diabetes for some time. He won the league title in countless knockout tournaments with the Islanders, playing alongside the likes of Madinda Ndlovu, the sixth standard, Peter Nkomo, Titus Majola, Spanda, amongst others. He later on moved to Germany, where he played for Ghana SC in the third tier Bundesliga. Kumalo then turned into coaching, where he handled Highlanders, Lancers to Mwana Africa, before moving to coach in Botswana. At the time of his death, Kumalo was welfare manager for his favorite team, Highlanders. Ernest Spanda, popularly known as Masepa, pays tribute to Mawiwi, saying he went too early.
What he had put into Zimbabwe football, it's so sad. And, you know, if we have people like them passing in so early, it becomes so difficult. Those are the players who nearly took us to the World Cup.
Tragedy also struck Kumalo's Islander side after they were beaten 1-0 by relegation threatened Flem Lily. Also, coach Bongani Mafu says it is saddening that his team did not give Kumalo a fitting tribute with a win.
True pity that we also did not win on the day that our legend passed away. So we are very, very sad as a family.
Both the top four teams dropped points, with the biggest casualties being top of the table Chicken Inn, who were beaten 1-0 at home by Wange. Gamecocks coach Joey Antipas admitted that Wange have had an effect on their league championship aspirations after they also won 1-0 in the first game at the Colliery.
Wanky, they're a team that has collected 6 points off us this season. So, yeah, definitely they studied our play. But what we need to do is just go back to the drawing board.
However, both second place Triangle and Dynamos failed to capitalize on Chicken Inn's loss to close the gap at the top. Triangle were held a goalless draw by Almine, while Dynamos conceded a last-minute goal from Stephen Alimenda to settle for a 1-0 draw against Cholocho Pirates. However, Dynamo's coach Tondera Indiraya feels this team was hard done by the manner the referee handled the game, accusing the match official of being tired.
The referee was not on our side the whole day. I think we had about 5 yellow cards, nothing for Cholocho. He's the man in the middle in charge of the game, and there's nothing we can do.
Fourth place, Dixie Platinum, also failed to win after they too were held a goalless draw by visiting Betis Kariba. The other premiership results were as follows. Caps United 0, Longosomio 0. Flem Lily 2, Kapungu 1. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariat.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will lead discussions about the legacy of the late Willard Mashingela Kumalo.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Over 12,000 Zimbabwean special permit applicants in South Africa have been rejected as the program nears its end on the 30th of September 2015.
The family of missing human rights activist Itai Dzamara today handed a petition to President Robert Mugabe and Speaker of Parliament Jacob Mudenda complaining about the government's less than satisfactory efforts to look for the missing activist.
And the IMF rules out giving Zimbabwe any financial assistance.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande. Good night.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant and good evening.